All right, get your Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I won't need that portable mic tonight. Genesis chapter 3. Help me. Come on, I got a lot to do. We probably won't even finish it tonight, but no hurry. Genesis chapter 3. And I said I was going to start a new series on Christ in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to hold on because this is going to get kind of deep, okay? Not everything's simple. Not everything simple is the gospel. And as we study through the Old Testament, you'll see even God himself sacrificed an animal for Adam and Eve. And so it all goes back to the sacrifice of Christ, the blood of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's all a preview. The whole Old Testament is a preview of what's going to happen. Even the laws and the ceremonies, all that's a preview of Christ. Abel offered a sacrifice as Adam taught him. Abraham offered a sacrifice. Moses knew of a prophet to come. David knew of a coming Savior. Isaiah spoke of a virgin birth. Daniel spoke of a coming king. Zechariah spoke of wounds and piercings of a friend. Job knew his Redeemer lives. Now, you don't know enough about Christ until you study the whole revelation, which would be the Old Testament, as really as much as the New. You need the Old Testament. You need the prophets. And Christ is the theme of every book in the Bible. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to study to show thyself approved just so we'll know the New Testament. Right. We need to know the Old, too. And people will say, well, where did sin come from? Well, if you don't know the Bible and the reason for all these things, you won't know how to answer that. And why does God require sacrifice? So as you study the Old Testament, these things are revealed pointing to Christ. Now, here's what will happen in this study. You'll learn, you'll grow, and you'll appreciate more what Christ has done for you if you'll study the Old Testament. Now, I'm afraid we're living in a generation of anemic, and I hate to use the word, but ignorant Baptists. They know nothing about the whole Bible. They know a few little tidbits. You know, the preacher, he'll come out with half a verse and preach 15 minutes, and they'll go home. You can't grow that way. You'd starve to death if that's all you got to eat, no more than they give you spiritually to eat. You'd physically starve to death. Now, there's more in the Old Testament concerning Christ than there is in the New Testament concerning Christ. There really is. I'll show it to you. And did you know, you'll see what the New Testament means when it says he humbled himself unto the cross. He humbled himself. Well, why would it say that? Well, if you don't know what the Old Testament says about him, why would that impress you that he humbled himself to the cross? Amen? Now, look at Genesis chapter 3. And let's see, we'll read 14 through 24 just to get the big picture, okay? Genesis chapter 3, you know the story, the serpent and Adam and Eve, and the serpent has tempted her and she fell, and she's tempted him and he fell. So let's start with verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, or make you an enemy between the two of you, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothed them. Now there's your example right there. Something had to die to do that. Amen. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become, look at this, as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, he had opportunity to eat of that tree to live forever if he stayed there. And therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, that's an angelic creature, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, my text verses out of all this, I thought, well, we'd start with verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. In other words, he's talking to the snake, not Satan. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, or make enemies out of you two, and between thy seed, his descendants, and her seed, her descendants. It shall bruise thy head, what shall? The snake. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, wait a minute. Not their heel, but his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's a perfect picture of man's disobedience to God and the results of sin and God's payment. God made the sacrifice himself to redeem them. Now, they still had to suffer the consequences of her sin, cast out of the garden, tilling the ground, having children, wife having to serve her husband and honor him, and the husband having to eat and work and eat by the sweat of his brow. So it's clear that the Old Testament has something here about a sacrifice. Now, as we read this, I want you to turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. Not in a hurry. If we don't get through, we'll come back and do it again, okay? John chapter 5. Look at verse... John chapter 5. I went way past John chapter 5. Look at verse 46 in John chapter 5. Now, Jesus referring to the Old Testament. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, look at John 5:39. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's all the scriptures. Okay? Now look at John 8. John chapter 8, verse 39. John 8, 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And what they're saying is, we're living by the Old Testament. Well, Jesus was telling them, I'm all in the Old Testament. I'm what the Old Testament's about. Search the Scriptures. You'll find me. See? Now, so it's clear that Jesus saw himself as the subject of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, we're going to start with this sad story about Adam and Eve and their falling. The story is that it creates enmity or an enemy not only between the snake or the serpent and Eve, but it puts enmity between God and mankind. That's what the story is all about. Amen? Now, of course, you know that the serpent is a picture of Satan who entered the snake. We know that, okay? Now, and the snake symbolizes the fact that the snake is made to crawl on his belly, so it symbolizes the fact that the snake was cursed. Right. See? So we know from the Old Testament that the story is true because of the characters. But the reason for all the story is that Satan hates mankind, and he particularly hates the children of God. Now, why else would he go in there to tempt those people who were living fine? It wasn't bothering him at all. He hates God, so therefore he hates anybody that God loves. See? And by the world, don't think the world's any different. The world hates God, so therefore they hate you. Jesus said they hated me, they'll hate you also. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're talking about the fall. We're talking about Jesus being there in this story in type and in figure. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in what? Our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created. Amen? In his likeness. Now we're going to get to that in a minute. But Adam and Eve, if you'll think about it, they're a picture of Jesus Christ and the saved. Amen. Because there for a while they were lost. Adam, where art thou? And then they were found. Amen. Amen? Of course, he knew where they were all the time. By the way, don't ever get the idea that I've read some of these commentators that God didn't know this was going to happen. God knew before he ever made them this was going to happen. But the Bible says, and we're going to get to it later, that before the foundations of the world was ever laid, God had already made the plan. Amen. He knew when he made man, he had to make a plan to buy him back. Now, in the first place, Jesus Christ, now, who did this in Genesis 1? Who did the creating? Okay, let's go to John 1:3. John 1:3. We'll go ahead and read first three. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know he's talking about Lord Jesus Christ, who was not born in the flesh then. So his name wasn't Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Yeah. And without him was not what? Anything that was made. Now turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. These are some verses that I quote a lot. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 16 through 18, I'm going to go ahead and start reading Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. That means those things we can't even say. See the wind and everything else. Whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for who?
Him.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So therefore, when God said, let us make man in our own image, the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. God's to us. God the Holy Ghost is us. Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus Christ at that time was called the Word of God. And by the way, he's still the Word of God. Everything God wants us to know about himself, we get it through Jesus Christ and the revelation that he has given us, the written Word of God. And so Jesus was called the Word. Now, he created everything. He was there when Adam and Eve were created. So when we talk about creation, we see who? The Creator.
Yes.
All right, who's the Creator? Jesus Christ. By him all things were created, and by him all things consist. Of course, if you've seen Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You understand? I'm not trying to destroy the Trinity. I'm just saying, if you say Jesus, you said God. If you say Holy Ghost, you said God. Right. Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it was created by his Word. And Jesus is the
Word.
Amen. Man, y'all catching on quick. We're going to have a little test at the end of all of it. Now, but wait a minute. He said, let us. That means the Trinity.
Yes.
And a lot of people get confused on that. Now, here's a side note I wrote myself. Let us make man in our image. Man, Adam, in the image of God. Now, wait a minute. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. This is just something I run up on studying. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. I never really thought about it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of God and the glory of God. Now wait a minute, that's a stop right there for just a second. Now go. But the woman is the glory of the man. Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Alright, here's all I'm saying. Adam was a direct creation from the breath and hand of God in his image. Adam looked exactly like God. Now God comes along a little later and he makes Eve out of man. And sometimes we get to thinking, we think, well, God just piled up two piles of dirt and he made a man out of one and a woman out of the other. No, he didn't. He made Adam from the dust of the ground. Adam, if you look it up, some of the interpretations of that name is red dirt.
Yeah.
So does that mean red man was first? I don't know. But anyway, he made Adam out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But then later he came back, he put Adam to sleep and did some surgery on him, took a rib out, and he made a woman out of Adam, not the ground. Just something I thought I'd throw there at you to get you to thinking a little bit. I smell wood burning now. Some of y'all get to thinking about that, amen? Now, ladies, I'm not putting you down anything, but verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Nevertheless, verse 11, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. You see that? For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Now, he's not talking about the direct creation in that last one. He's talking about birthing children. Now, Which came first, the chicken or the egg, see? People, and these feminists don't like us saying these things because they said you can't have children without having a woman. Well, it wouldn't be a woman if God hadn't created the man first and made a woman out of the man. And ever since then, women have been birthing children. It takes a man and a woman. A man and a woman to create more. I mean, I just thought that was wonderful. That would blow the mind of all these women that shaved their head and put on men's clothes and changed their name and all that stuff. But anyway, now Ephesians 5:24. Now, Adam was made in God's image. Eve was made in Adam's image. And I want you to look what he says in Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for you. Now, I want you to think about this. A man's love toward his children is reflecting the image of God. A man's love toward his wife is reflecting the image of God. Now, she reflects the man. I'm not putting anybody above anybody. I'm just trying to keep this stuff straight, okay? Now, when a man deals with his children should see him as the Father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth but we're their Father. So what they're seeing, they should be seeing, is God in their Father. See what I'm saying? If we reflect Him, then as Father, our children should see God when they talk to us and deal with us. God, they'll see and feel God's presence. Now, but a man toward his own wife is like Christ and the church. See, the man representing Christ as the head, and the woman represents the church, which submits to the head. Am I getting too deep for you here? It's not a thing about subjection or overruling or anything like that. It's all about creation and reflecting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, reflecting a father to his children, reflecting God, and the man and the woman relationship, since the woman came out of the man and the man was a direct creation from God, then he's supposed to honor her and love her and take care of her as God the Father takes care of him. If a man says he's a Christian, the Bible says if he don't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. He's a liar. Man say, well, I'm a father, but you don't take care of your children, you don't take care of your wife. You're a lying infidel. Infidel means somebody that doesn't believe. Amen? You don't look like God. I used to preach at Chain Gang. Those guys come out there, and of course, you know, they ain't got nothing else to do, so they'd come to my preaching, and they'd tell me how much they loved their children, how much they missed their wife. And I'd say, well, why are you in jail? And they'd say, non-support. I said, you said you love your wife and children. Well, she won't let me live with them. I said, well, you still ought to support them. They're your children. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you lying thing, you. Now, he intended from the day, from the start, that they should picture Christ and his people, Adam and Eve, the bride and all the saved. So here's a picture of Christ when he made man and woman, and he made them in his image. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like being in the image of God. I've been called just about everything in the world. Ugly, homely. You know, hadn't we all? You know, skinny, four eyes, big ears, big nose, everything, you know, the world calls. But now I look at myself and say, well, if you don't like me, you won't like God because I look like him. Amen? And so we'll be glad to say that we were made, even the woman, though not a direct creation, as far as the dirt goes, she was a creation from the man. So she looks like the man who looks like God. That's why we say mankind. And these liberals now want to get rid of these terms, him and her and she and man and woman. But it's a Bible word. Man, when he talks about man, God loving man, then God loves mankind, which means men and women. See, doesn't mean just man. But now they want to gender neutralize the Bible and take man off of that and him off of God and make them into some perverted idea of creation. Well, if you do that, then you're going to remove Jesus Christ or at the least the need for Jesus Christ in the fall of man. See? And you won't understand it. So you go back through the Bible and you do it. Now, in this relationship, the wife is to be ruled by the husband. And in this very first picture, it's clear, Genesis 3:16. Now, I'm not talking about overbearing, mean, hateful, and all that, though we all of us men probably had those days. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now you say, now wait a minute, that's way back in Genesis. We don't believe in that anymore. Thy desire shall be as I... But, now wait a minute. Do you still believe in sorrow at conception when you bring forth children? Don't tell me you don't. I've been around the delivery room. Screaming, hollering, crying. Somebody shoot me, put me out of my misery. No, shoot my husband, it's his fault. You know, there's sorrow in conception until you lift that little baby up and lay it on your chest. Yeah. But you believe in that, so why not believe in the rest of it? Well, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. There's an order. God's got an order in everything, and the reason is every bit of that order represents Him, His Son, the Holy Ghost, the church, His people, and that's what this book's about. The whole book's about that. Don't take it so personal. It's about all of us. Ephesians 5. Start with verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now that's in the Bible. We submit ourselves to each other. I submitted myself to my wife today. She said, fix that commode upstairs or die. In 4 hours I worked on that thing. And I wanted to cuss. I'll be honest. I wanted to cuss. But it ain't in me. I can't find it in me. But when my wife did, I said, amen. No, I'm teasing. If she'd have been there, she might have, because I'm slinging stuff, laying on that floor slinging stuff and hollering. Ah! I didn't cuss, but I come awful close, you know. But Ephesians 5:21 said that we submit ourselves one to another in what? The fear of God, because that's what the creation was all about. Amen. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the what?
Lord.
Woo! You read that at a wedding nowadays, they'll call it off.
Yes.
They'll call that wedding off, buddy, right quick. Amen? Now, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Now remember, he's comparing the couple or the family to the the Lord and his bride, the church, okay? So now wives, you submit unto your husband. As he said in Genesis chapter 3, am I right? Okay, I just want to see if y'all are still with me. Yes. The Southern Baptists a few years ago at their convention made a declaration, voted on it, and passed it, that these words are antique and antiquated, and they no longer need to be used. That's why now they're starting to have women pastors. That's right. Now, y'all, you made me lose my place. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what?
Everything.
Wait a minute, that's got to be wrong. Everything? But wait a minute, there's more to it. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. But wait a minute, it gets even deeper than that. Even as Christ also loved the church, and this is how he proved it, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, set apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it or fed it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and a mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. But now look at this verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. They were called Abraham Lord. Now, I'm not saying we need to go back to the Stone Age, but I'm saying all this typology is important. Are y'all cold? Some of y'all's cold.
Yes.
Who's hot? All right, switch places. It's on 74. Let's just keep going. All right, now listen to this. I'm over time. We're going to have to take this up next week. But this represents Christ and his bride. Look, it's not just about Adam and Eve.
Right.
It's about everything that's going to happen from there on to the end.
Amen.
And all of it's important, and it all fits together. Every bit of it fits together, and every bit of it's going to bring us back to Christ,
yeah,
his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and what he has done through and with and by the local church. It's all important. So next week, we'll just get down to childbearing and see what that pictures in Ephesians chapter 5. But if you don't know the Lord, every bit of this would be totally crazy. Because you couldn't understand it. You know why? Dead people don't understand living things. Amen. You must be born again. The natural man understands not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. So come back next week. We're going to take up right there, and we'll do this week after week after week, and we'll go all the way through it and stop and go, okay? All right. Let's